Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please. Last week, Father Ellis reminded us that Jesus calls us to be happy with our blessings and to not seek more for ourselves than we need. He told us how he had to change his sermon because a little girl came up to him to receive a birthday blessing, and when asked how old she was, she said, "I'm 5, I'm happy, and I don't want anything for my birthday." And congratulations to her. She caused a priest to change his sermon at the last minute, and that's quite an accomplishment. So now, like any good teacher, Jesus has a lesson plan. So last week, he taught us to be happy with what we have and to be generous to God. This week, let us explore how he expands that lesson further. He begins with, "Do not be afraid, little flock." Now, if he is telling us not to be afraid, we have to ask, what does he think we are afraid of? Now, just a few lines earlier in Luke, Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Your Father knows you need them. Instead, strive for the kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." So we see how Jesus can anticipate some of our most basic needs and human objections. We want to say, "I have mouths to feed, I have a mortgage to pay, or I have student loans to pay off." But listen to the words of Jesus. "Your Father in heaven knows you need these things. Strive for the kingdom, and he will give them to you." Now that's a mighty big promise. But a bigger one comes next. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's pleasure to give us God's kingdom. Does this sound too good to be true? Is it difficult to understand? This sounds like a huge promise. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this: do we believe what Jesus is promising us? Do we believe that our Father in heaven wants us to inherit the kingdom of God? And if we do believe it, how do we respond? Now let's assume for a second that we do believe this promise. Let us say we trust Jesus. Let us say we believe what he tells us here. What then? The first thing we have to realize is that words like faith and belief are not just another way of saying opinion. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance, the conviction, as in we trust it to be true. It's not a case where we say, "I think that's true," and that's the end of it. Faith and belief are active words. They require a response. For instance, I believe in gravity. I am assured of its existence at a soul deep level. Therefore, I don't try to flap my flippers and fly off the Empire State Building. I believe it to be true, thank God, and I act accordingly. So if we believe in God's promise made to us through Jesus Christ, how do we respond? How do we act? In both our lessons today, in Hebrews and Genesis, we read about the story of Abraham. Abraham was given a whopper of a promise that he, despite his advanced age and the fact that his wife was long past childbearing years, that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven. God promises Abraham that he will turn his descendants into a great nation and that they will be a blessing to the earth. There is a demand, though. Abraham has to leave his homeland, his place of security, his place of comfort, his family, his entire life to go and seek this land that God is promising to him. That's a huge demand of Abraham. So how did he respond? Abraham, Hebrews tells us, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. He obeyed and set out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. Abraham did not know where he was going, but he went anyway. Now, can we imagine the response from his family and his friends? Abe, why are you going on this crazy adventure? I hear the pizza in Canaan is terrible. Stay home where it's safe. And we've all heard objections to that like that in our lives. But Abraham went anyway. A former mentor of mine used to tell me, this is how you spell faith. R-I-S-K. Risk. Faith tells us to take risks, to take chances. That is the story of faith. Going out of our comfort zone because we believe what God promises us. So now, we have Jesus telling us not to be afraid, that God wants to give us a kingdom. Therefore, he says, sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is telling us to prioritize the kingdom that he has promised to us above all other things. When he says, sell your possessions and give alms, he is literally saying, give up on all that you are, all that you think you are, and all that you think is important, and prioritize God and God's people and God's kingdom above all of those things. Put God first. We even swear to that in our baptism. We swear to put our whole trust in Jesus' grace and love. And we swear to follow him as our Lord and Savior. My brothers and sisters, that's a big thing we were asked to swear to. But his promise to us is equally big, if not bigger. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert. Truly, I tell you, he will come and serve them. As we serve God's people, God will serve us. God will provide for us. God will take care of us. Now, if that sounds like a lot, it is. But sometimes when we look at promises like this and actions that we want to take, we think to ourselves we can't do it. So maybe we shouldn't think that we should do it all at once. Maybe we can take it slowly. Maybe we are afraid. Maybe we need to take these baby steps. Maybe we need to test this promise. Because let's just face it, this promise requires a lot of faith. So for those of us here who are questioning, for those of us who are not sure if we believe all these promises that Jesus is making to us, or if we believe that God will take care of us, here are a few little things to help us on the way. Faith like this takes training. It takes practice. It needs to become a habit, like good diet and exercise. We don't get into shape overnight. And likewise, we don't find this kind of faith just by thinking about it. So for starters, we need to pray. We need to talk to God. We need to thank God for our blessings. We need to bring God our concerns. We need to ask God for help. And we need to remember God's people in prayer. The poor, the sick, the foreigner, the lonely. Start once a day in the morning. And then maybe move up to twice a day, mornings and evenings. We can start exploring different types of prayer that work for us. Praying is a discipline and it can be hard. But we can start small and ask for help from those here who have more experience in the life of prayer than we do. Next, we can look for little things that we can do at church, in the community, or in the world. Maybe we're not ready yet to give our entire life to God. Maybe it's hard to trust God to take care of us. Maybe we just don't like taking risks. And that's okay. It is hard. So we start small. Here at St. Anne's, we're constantly looking for help in coffee hour. We have a food pantry that often runs low in the summer. This weekend, we're starting a school supply drive for Eastern farm workers. We have a sign-up sheet in the lobby right now. Mary Mattarella can always use help with her PBJ ministry. These are just a few small things to get started on. And as we do things like these, we need to pause and pay attention to the way that God starts working within us, to listen for God's response, feel for God's response. God will respond to the little things, and then God will encourage us to take bigger leaps of faith. Lastly, I would encourage us all here gathered to start looking for examples of the life of faith. We read about Abraham today. We can search our scriptures for more examples. We can also talk to the people here at St. Anne's who are involved in various ministries. Abraham is not the only one who takes risks. Have you talked to Mary Mattarella? She hops on the train to the city once a month, loaded down with sandwiches and supplies for homeless people. She takes some serious risks, and she is not the only one. There are others here who take risks in their service to God. We have a lot of ministries here at St. Anne's, and I would encourage us all to be involved in them. My brothers and sisters, I pray that today we would hear the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we hear the promise he makes to us, and that we believe him. I pray that we would remember our baptismal vows deep within our hearts, and I pray that we would respond in faith and be prepared to take risks. In Jesus' name.